This episode of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast is brought to you by Zephyr CMS. It's a modern cloud-based CMS system that's licensed only to agencies. You can find them at zephyrcms.com. More about this later in the show. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast. This is John Jantz and my guest today is Payman Tai. He is the founder of Hindsight Interactive, as well as VizMe, which is a pretty powerful tool for creating online tool software, for creating presentations, infographics, pretty much any type of visual element that you need for your business. So, Payman, thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much. Pleasure being in your company today, John.
So tell me a little the story, or I always like to sometimes start off with kind of like, how did you get to here? But then also just really the kind of the founding of VizMe. I mean, the idea behind it, why you did it, what the journey's been like.
All right. Well, I'll give you the 25, whatever years in a matter of, I guess, 1 minute. Take it. It's going to go pretty fast, you know, fast forward. So let's go back to the future, I guess. But I originally was in college studying biology. And then ended up to pay my way through creating websites back in 2000, 2001. And so this is when nobody had a website and everybody needed to have one. They didn't know what to do with it. They just needed to have it. And so I ended up doing that, self-taught designer. And so I started from nothing as far as like learning things. I didn't go to class for it if it was a biology major. And then just, you know, through trial and error, learned my way around and became a web designer, started a little web agency called Hindsight Interactive. It was just me. And then up until 2008, 2009, 2010, had a team of about 8-9 people and a couple of contractors here and there. We're doing some really cool stuff, mostly on Flash, you know, old days, interactive animated websites. Barack Obama, you know, when he won 2008 elections, we did some cool stuff for ABC News for that. So anyway, I used to, you know, really dabble and then love animation and interactivity. And then that's what we were known for at Hindsight. And so, and then came the iPhone, which basically disrupted and destroyed Flash. And they no longer supported that plugin. And long story short, I decided to take a little leap of faith of, hey, let me create just for me and for other designers, create something that's like Flash, but it's based on HTML5, the fabric on the internet, which even today, all browsers support it and all mobile devices support it. Long story short, that ended up just being a little animation tool to do what Flash did in a very basic format. In 2012, 13, after a couple of years of development behind the scenes, launched a very, very basic beta out of it. Soon realized that, hey, thankfully, that the people that showed up at that little focus group, 15, 20 people, almost none of them were designers. And I realized that what they're trying to do is to whip up some sort of a graphic, like, hey, I want to do a slideshow. I'm trying to do a presentation, or in those cases, infographics were getting popular. And so I quickly decided the keyword in the startup world is pivot. So I pivoted and then went back to the drawing board, came back a year later and put out VizMe, which then it was known a different name. Let's not even talk about that. put that out as, you know, the light bulb moment was that focus group, which was, hey, you know what? I need to create this for everybody, every single person, going back to where everybody should be able to create beautiful presentations and designs and graphics and so on. But there is another button to that. What I was frustrated with as an individual designer back in the day of creating all sorts of things for clients, you know, presentations or creating a web page or website or even Flash, I'd be going back to Adobe Photoshop to bring a photo in or Illustrator to bring an icon in and Flash to animate it. So I'm using four or five or six different tools, really powerful tools that really are for professionals. And the problem was the learning curve. And two was that you just keep being disconnected. You're going from one tool to another where the user interface is totally different. So I wanted to also bring that in for the masses as well, to create one tool that allows non-designers to be able to communicate in the language that we all know, which is visuals, design, graphics, you know, and to be able to do it in as quickly as possible with all the assets and graphics that they need and be able to do it as effectively and be able to reach an outcome that they can be happy with. So that's basically what's been our mission. And I wanted them to be able to do it in one tool so you don't have to think in a tool such as VizMe that I want to create a presentation, what should I use? What tool should I use? I want to create a simple graphic. What tool should I use? I want to create a short animation or a infographic. there's great tools for all of those, but there isn't a single tool that is one intuitive interface that allows you to do everything from the static graphic all the way to the full-blown interactive presentation and, of course, the data visualizations, charts, and so on. That's basically what we've tried to accomplish here at Visme, and I think we've done a pretty good job at it so far.
So a lot of people have been trying to tackle this. I would say going back maybe 10 years or so, you started seeing some of these online editing design tools. Maybe at first they were just trying to displace, you know, some of the Adobe tools and things like that that people could use. I always felt like there was a missing element because to some degree, just having the tool, you know, doesn't make you a designer, right? And I think that a lot of those tools did allow, early tools did allow people to design things, but they weren't necessarily, you know, powerful, you know, business attributes. I mean,
sure.
How do you wrestle with the idea that you give somebody a really powerful tool, but there's still design principles that, you know, that if you don't adhere to or know, you're just going to design stuff that's ugly and not very useful, but you're going to be able to do it easily. So, I mean, how do you wrestle with that?
That's right. So I think it's to give people a starting point. I mean, you know, there are some very simple basics in design and graphics that anybody can learn. And we've created, the couple of things we focus heavily on Visme is education. And that's about all these short videos we do. We have a great YouTube channel that it's not about using the tool Visme. It's just like, hey, 19 design mistakes. What are some of the common design mistakes people can make? So we also bring that into the tool itself to make it as intuitive as possible, where it's almost like layers of an onion. You get in there and you're like, hey, this is similar to like PowerPoint or this is similar to other tool. Yeah. And so that you feel right at home. And then you start peeling at the layers. If you want to create a pop-up or a hotspot, we have a feature for that. If you want to, you know, bring an object from left to the right, we have animation tools for that. If you need them, you don't even need to use them. They're just kind of there at your disposal, kind of underneath. But we also give you a tremendous starting point, you know, is where lots of templates that we have an entire design team that creates lots of great assets. Many of them are exclusive to Visme. You cannot find them anywhere else. So we actually rolled out the new version a couple months ago. And that has all these interactive animated illustrations and characters and gestures so that you want to do a wave, you just drop it in. You can change the skin color from tan to black to white to, you know, green, red, whatever you want it to be. They're all fully customizable and if you need that. So we're giving people the starting point and give them lots of templates so you feel right at home. And then if you decide to want to make tweaks beyond just the text editing, you're able to move things around and adjust them and move them as needed. And we also have the features such as certain color palettes. So you click one theme color and then just boom, the entire presentation or design changes color, multi-pages, everything. Or you can even have your own custom. So then when you get to the business, right? Hey, I have a business, I have a specific logo, I have specific brand requirements, color requirements. So you can set up your little brand kit. And in the future, in a matter of a click, you'll always have your colors available to you. You can even make any design you create into Visme to a template so you can keep reusing in the future. And again, I could go on, but I think that, you know, gives a little bit of a gist of it.
Well, and I think that's a component that that's probably been missing from other people's take on this is that you really are looking at it as a business tool. And I don't think enough people think of small business owners think of design, and just because, you know, I've worked with thousands of small business owners, and this idea that there would even be a style guide and that everybody would use the same fonts and logos. I mean, that's something that a lot of designers, certainly, you know, marketers over the years have done and developed. But I feel like you've taken a huge leap with this tool because you've actually focused on that aspect, and so that people can collaborate and have all the tools in one place instead of just being on, you know, 600 Google Drives somewhere.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, and I feel that productivity is very important for people these days and anytime, right? So it's not about, hey, I mean, look, anybody can sit down and figure their way around any tool and at some point create something. You could go learn Photoshop. You could spend, you know, hours and hours and hours and create something nice. It might take you weeks or months, and it depends on where you are. You could use the tool, you know, some other tool out there. It's just you want to be able to reach that medium as quickly as possible. And people are in a rush. That's a reality. People don't have time. They want to just scroll through things. They just want to see things. When was the last time you came to a blog post and you read it from top to the bottom? I mean, you basically end up just, you know, skimming through things. You catch little visuals, you catch little snippets of text. And so that's where tools such as ours and others come into play as well, is that you just take a lot of that content that you're trying to present to people And then you create into a chart, a little widget of data, you know, or stats and figures into little arrays of like people and icons and so on. And you combine those together so that, let's say you have a 3,000 word blog post or an article, as you scroll down, there's almost little snackable pieces of it. That's the ones people mostly pay attention to. And then if they want to dig down, they start reading more detail. So it's very important for, I think, for communication. And the same thing, if I'm presenting a slide deck in front of an audience, let's say right now, if I was presenting on screen to you, and if I had just tons and tons of text on every single slide, people are, you know, they shouldn't be sitting down looking at that. They should be looking at a glimpse of that statement to that you're trying to portray. So you're doing the presenting and the visuals are doing the talking, basically.
You know, today content is everything. So our websites are really content management systems, but they've got to work like one. Check out Zephr. It is a modern cloud-based CMS system that's licensed only to agencies. It's really easy to use. It's very fast. It won't mess with your SEO. I mean, it really reduces the time and effort to launch your clients' websites. Beautiful themes, just really fast, profitable way to go. They include an agency services to really kind of make them your plug-and-play dev shop. Check out Zephr.com. That is Zephyrcms.com. So have you, you know, like a lot of these tools in their early days, designers kind of said, oh, well, you know, that's great for amateurs. You know, they can go over there and use that. But I've got my stuff here. Are you finding designers, particularly with a collaborative nature with business, are you finding even like third-party freelance designers plugging? So in other words, a business using your tool as their base for their design work and then plugging in designers to actually design in VizMe for their clients?
Yes. So it used to be, and even to this day, a designer that would look at a tool such as ours and say, look, it's for non-designers, not for us. The reality is that there are even designers that are using it. Now, I'm a designer myself. I've been doing it for many years. I use VizMe for a number of things. And there are times where I'll go to Sketch for doing UI design for like our website and so on. I'm going to use that. I mean, that's the reality of it. But as an example, VizMe is a little bit more, I don't want to say business oriented. We have a B2B side of it and we have a B2C side. There's a lot of students and educators use it for just single use, individual use and so on. And there's small businesses that use it for little graphics here and they need. Nonprofits are very big. We have a nonprofit discount and they use it because they save so much money on creating material that they don't have to hire a designer for. Then there's designers who are actually part of, let's say, a company or organization. And what they do is they actually love the tool because they're able to focus on creating designs or templates or graphics and things that they love doing versus getting someone send them a PowerPoint and say, hey, can you please go update slide 3 to say the chart to have this value because I don't like doing it. I'm not a great designer. So all those things are in there where you can actually have a role as a designer in VizMe as, let's say, part of a 4, 5, 10 or more people or 2 people. And one person has a role to manage those. And then the other person or persons would be there to just do the editing. All they're doing is just, picking up what's created for them.
Yeah. Plus, I could see a lot of folks that are charged with the brand or design elements, now having a tool that, they're not constantly have to update people's email signatures and things like that because they point them to the place to go. Let's talk a little bit about the business itself. Describe kind of your team today, how you operate as a business.
Sure. So, well, today everybody's pretty much remote, right? talking about today as in COVID period, pandemic period, but actually we were already about 2/3 remote. Our main location is in the DC area. We're right in the suburbs and we had about 10, 11 people here in the DC office. And then once we got to 7 or 8 people, we just kept hiring more and more people remote. There's some great talent out there from Mexico to Ecuador to Philippines to Japan to, Europe and all over. We have 12, 13 different countries we have a team on. So we're about 40-something people. And our intention is not to grow the team and make it as big as possible. It's actually to get as much efficiency and productivity out of the team and only hire on a need-to-need basis. So that's kind of the model that we work out of. So that's our setup here. And we operate now, of course, I'm at the office with a couple other people, sitting in a separate parts of the room. Everybody else is remote now. But it didn't change much for us because we already had a remote communication using Slack, using Skype, Zoom, and of course, VizMe for a lot of the presenting and so on that we use.
So you did the, you know, you built your company, you built websites, you became a designer. You so had the, I think, the foresight to see, you know, how to build a tool like this. But you'd probably never managed a company with 40 employees before. Was that part of, you know, becoming a leader of a business different than building or, you know, creating a business?
I still love to focus on the creative side of things. I'm very involved in the product. I'm involved in the templates and the design. I mean, I'm all over, you know, and to a point where, you know, again, not micromanage, but I'm all over the place and being involved and knowing what's going on. To have that vision and work a certain way that I would very much love, you know, for to see it to be. But stepping back from a business operational aspect, yeah, I mean, that's been a learning experience, but it's not overnight. You know, a lot of people, you know, may look at it, especially the small business owners or those that are getting to starting a business. And they're like, well, I've never ran a business before. I didn't have a business major, so I'm not made out to be. I mean, look, you start at zero. And then you just little by little build little blocks. You make mistakes. As long as you take a couple steps forward and take a step back, you know, and it's a learning experience. I've been doing this since, 2000? It's 20 years now. So I didn't know anything. I have a good idea what I'm doing now, but I still don't know a lot. And you learn something new every single day. But I couldn't iterate enough hiring really good people that you want to have around. And I know it's like a cliche. Everybody says it from from Elon Musk to, you know, Bill Gates and everyone else. But I think it's true. I mean, you want to find people that you really, that they share the same vision with you and have the same passion, and B, they're just great people to hang around with and be around with, and you can rely on.
Have you, one of the challenges I think companies that are remote have is just, you know, it's much, especially when you described, you know, all over the globe, frankly, how have you been able to inject an element of, you know, the culture that you want to build in your organization by, you know, having such a remote team?
I actually, if I had the choice of having the entire team in one location, whether it was cost, travel, none of that didn't matter. I would still prefer to be mostly remote or actually partially remote. There's a certain efficiency you get out of that. You don't see people face to face. And if you're, you know, doing it through, let's say, Slack for communication, you spell things and as, you know, quickly and as short as possible, you can get your point across. So I think it has an advantage on that side of being having a remote team. Yeah, I mean, in terms of challenges itself, though, I think it's really a matter of putting certain guidelines in place, certain best practices in place. And also, you know, as a team grows, you have to kind of rely on certain people to, you know, to be in charge of or being in smaller teams, like four or five people, six people on one team. And then you deal mostly with the lead or leads on that team, versus having to deal with every single individual. And so that's kind of how you structure it. But then you want to have a communication that goes between them. I don't think we've figured it all out yet. I mean, there's a lot of room for improvement. But if I look at it now versus like a year ago, 2 years ago, I could say that each year it's gotten a lot better and more efficient. You know, and not everything works for one company is going to work for the other. But there are a few basic things that should be followed through, I think. And that's just, you know, removing as many obstacles as possible and putting certain procedures in place and being very quick to adopt, you know, being able to, hey, this is not working. Hey, you guys have any ideas? What's the best way to go about it? Let's try it. Let's see how this goes for the next week or two. And then, yeah, it's working great. Let's keep doing it. Or it's not, let's go back and refine. I mean, it's, you know, trial and error.
So Visme's clearly achieved a level of success. What would you, if somebody were to ask you now, you know, it's always great to look in hindsight, right? After you've achieved a level of success, what would you say has been the hardest thing for you as a business owner to grow this particular venture?
I mean, I would plain outright say there's always challenges. There's a lot of challenges to deal with every day and every month and so on. And so, you know, and I look at it where we're just at like phase one and there's so much more leeway ahead of us, right? So to me, to someone may look at it and say, hey, you guys, wow, you have 4.8, I guess, million users and so on now. And that's great. And, you know, you know, all of this, you're getting so much traffic and you have users and there's companies using yours and so on. It's great. You know, when you're sitting from this angle, you're like, and you feel like you're at the bottom of a mountain, and you look up and it's like, wow, we got so much more to go. Yeah. So, you know, I would put that into perspective in that manner, you know, and on the other hand, in terms of, you know, VisMe and challenges, I would say one of the big challenges from a product aspect has been creating something that, you know, is restrictive, but it's not, in that a non-designer can use it, and then you have enough features and functionality and flexibility to be able to do more. Because, you know, the, where we sit is where we're not like a dumbed down tool where you can achieve an outcome extremely fast. You can, but, you know, there are a few other tools out there that will get you there a little bit quicker. But then soon you realize that you're going to hit some milestones. Once you get to that phase one, it's like, how do I get to the next level of design and so on? We get there. And our intention is never to be like an Adobe. You know, we don't even consider them a competitor and so on. We're like in between, yeah. We're in between those two. So that from a product aspect is you have to draw the line. What do we do and what do we don't? You can't listen to all the users. So that's a product. The other part will be from just, you know, operational and so on, is there's so many things coming at you all the time. There's so many features. There's a new competitor, a new product, a new this, a new that. It's like, where do you realize which makes more sense for you? Because you can quickly get inundated. And I've gotten a lot better at it, but it still is. We used to freak out, like, oh my God, this company just released that feature or that competitor to that. And we would be like, what do we do? I mean, they're bigger than us. They raise all this funds and we're bootstrapped. We've not raised a single penny. You just got to take a step back and believe in what your vision is and what you're trying to do. And that's how I look at it. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's not a race anymore. You know, it's a race with us, but it's not a race with others. You know, I just want to create a great product. And we look at the challenges that come across, is that what do they make sense for this product, for VisMe as well? And once you dissect those things, then you can make better decisions.
So what's the future look like? If you're going to, obviously the product is to a certain point right now, what are kind of some of the cool new like things that you have on the roadmap coming?
Sure. So a lot of them, the roadmap was just rolled out. That wasn't there just a few months ago. We launched the latest version of VisMe. So anybody else that used it as of 3 months ago or before would have been in the old legacy version of VisMe. Yeah. The new version is basically a lot more powerful, but yet it is even easier to use now. And it takes interactivity in design to the next level. So you can actually create videos and download as GIFs. We have all these beautiful assets. We spent over a year and a half building with an entire design and animation team here that you will not find anywhere else. So you could literally put characters, apply gestures. This could be for a corporate presentation, by the way. It could be for like a little GIF or social media and so on. So you're able to create those outcomes. So that's something that's rolled out. And we just literally today, as I'm talking to you, just rolled out a huge audio library. So now there's thousands of little audio clips for background music for your presentation and so on. We roll out a video library, and coming up in the coming weeks and months, you'll be able to do commenting and annotation within. So let's say, you know, Google Drive, you comment, somebody else gets the message, they go in. So that type of thing. So that's now part of the VisMe release coming up soon. And then the next phase is going to be heavier mobile experience and allowing people to have a, you know, quicker outcome in their designs. So further efficiency and productivity into some of the tools. And of course, ongoing, lots and lots of templates, beautiful templates.
Awesome. Tell people where they can find out more about VisMe. And of course, we'll have it in the show.
Sure. So they can just Google VisMe, V-I-S-M-E, or go to VisMe.com or VisMe.co. It's all us, same thing. Also, if they want to connect with me, just on LinkedIn, find my name, first name, last name. There, you're just going to get one search result. That's it. So I won't be hard to find.
Awesome. Well, Pammy, thanks for stopping by the show, and hopefully we'll run into you soon when we're all back out there on the road.
Thanks very much, John. Great site, by the way. Love your stuff.
Thank you.